And welcome, everybody, here on Channel 2600 on YouTube. It's Emmanuel. Kyle, you okay here? You make it into YouTube?
Yes, okay. Hello.
And Rob, Gila, Alex, you all here?
I am here.
All right, and are we on YouTube?
Still waiting for the delay to catch up.
The van just appeared on my screen.
Oh, there we go.
If the van shows up, then we're gonna pile out of it at some point.
Okay, we are on YouTube. We sound good.
Cool. All right, Alex, you have something to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, one caveat. I'm here. I don't know if I'm gonna stick it out the whole time.
You can't do this every week. Every week you go to a foreign country. Yes, it is. Every week you go to a foreign country and you use the time as an excuse. Because it's later there for some reason.
I'm sorry. At least and then, I'm here when I'm in foreign country.
I can only imagine what you would have pulled in India. What would you have done then? You would have said, a day ahead.
Would have been the morning. I would have been fine. Would have woken up, had a cup of coffee in there. But, you know, it is late. I'll stick it out to whatever extent I can.
All right. Well, you might want to stick around either. You know, we have things we have to do, too.
Exactly, yeah. I know. But one thing I would suggest, I think we should take phone calls earlier. I mean, that's the most fun part of overtime.
I'm right here. Talking to us isn't fun enough?
I just had an hour of that. I'm done. I'm done with you guys.
Okay.
Well, I've had my fill.
Lay the cards on the table. Wow. All right.
Get Rebel over with early.
Well, as long as I'm being honest, Alex, I have some things I'd like to say, too.
Yes. Well, you know, candor is a virtue.
And listeners, anything on your minds, feel free to unleash it on us, because we're here tonight for that.
Are we having Festivus in March right now?
Yes, we're airing the grievances.
So you guys have a different microphone or something, don't you? Because you sound sound different.
Yeah, we had a bit of a situation this morning. There was a rainstorm overnight, and apparently a leak in our ceiling, which happened to land on the keyboard on my computer workstation here, trashed the keyboard, and my previous mic was plugged into the USB slot on the keyboard, so that too was fried.
Oh,
the computer's fine, everything else is fine, but we are using a backup microphone, which we actually inherited from my late father-in-law, and so we're sounding a little different, but it's something we threw together to replace what broke down. And it seems to be okay. I mean, do we sound worse or?
You sound a little tinnier, but you know I can live with it. It's much better than the way Alex sounds a lot of the time when he can barely understand what he's saying, or he keeps cutting out, or he freezes, and then you find out he wasn't frozen but just like staring at you. You know, but it's less dramatic than all that. I would like to know what the frying egg thing is in the background, though. If you can.
Yeah, I'm terribly curious myself.
Yeah,
it could be any. I don't know what sort of like. If you could describe the noise a little more, because we don't hear it.
Yeah,
there it is.
I can't do that for as long as it went on.
It's like releasing steam.
Yeah, something like that. Do other people hear it? I mean, do listeners hear it, or are we the only ones that hear it?
I mean, Alex, do you hear it? You hear it.
I hear it.
Then it must be coming from something in this apartment, but I don't know what it could be. Like, we're a studio apartment, so we're kind of close to everything that could possibly be making noise.
It's weird that you don't hear it. It's weird that you don't hear it. But I'll tell you what, if it happens now, right, we'll say it's happening. Can you switch to YouTube and hear a few seconds later, and then you can hear what we hear?
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Plan of attack.
All right. It's going to confuse the hell out of us, I know, but it'll be fun. We'll let you know. Yes, Alex.
One thing I want to say, usually Gila is the person who reviews the chats and says what's going on, but I wanted to ask the people in the chat here, of which there are a good number now, somebody made a reference to Chummer, and I want to know if that's a Shadowrun reference. Somebody made a reference to Chummer, and generally Chummer was basically slang for like something like buddy or friend or mate or something like that. If you were a runner or a hacker back in the Shadowrun RPG days, and I'm just wondering if that's the reference that this person was making.
No idea what you're talking
about. Who was? Wow. I'm very impressed.
Okay. Or it could have just been a typo or something, but either way,
I don't think it was.
All right. As long as we're talking about things that most people don't understand, if you tune to 7910 kilohertz on shortwave, you might hear an Iranian number station that just signed on the air a couple of days ago. So, yeah, if you get your old shortwave out. Or, gosh, I don't have the URL to that site. You know what I'm talking about, the Dutch site, Kyle?
I do.
Yeah, do you have the link? You can get the link? Wow, there's nothing he can't do. We'll give that link out. It's a long link, so get your pens ready. And then you just tune to 7910 and wait. And you'll hear somebody in Persian giving numbers out occasionally. You don't know when they're going to sign on. I don't know how people find these things. There must be people all around the world just tuning to particular frequencies and waiting for something to happen. Because I just heard about this. They said it signed on a couple of days ago. How do you know that? How do you know when it signed on? Weird. It's amazing what people are up to, how dedicated they are.
Frequency?
7910 is the frequency. But we need the URL more than we need the frequency. Oh, you're playing it now. Okay, well, that's the sound of static, which means they're not doing numbers. I mean, it's not going to go on for long. It's going to be on for a few minutes. But the important thing is you can use your computer and listen to a shortwave radio in the Netherlands and tune it. Tune it to your desire. And listen to all kinds of things. It's upper sideband, too, by the way, USB, so you have to make sure that's clicked. Okay, so we want to take phone calls. Is that the what I'm hearing from people? No? I'm not hearing anything.
Sorry, right. We think it's a great idea.
It's radio, you know? Yeah, I had my head turned. I didn't, okay. Let's see. Okay, so who wants to give out the phone number? And on the last digit, that's when the phone becomes active. So if you dial it now, you're not going to go anywhere.
All right, I'll do it tonight.
All right.
It's 802-321-4225.
Okay, and the phone is now active.
Right.
And if you call that number, you will reach us. And the number is ringing. But Kyle's tuning a shortwave radio, so he can't pick up the phone. Just be patient. He's going to get over there. He's multitasking. He's got, wait, that was only one ring. Is somebody?
Yeah, oh, that's somebody jump-starting.
Somebody their, having a laugh at us?
They're warming up their gear.
Yeah.
The site that we like is a web SDR host.
Okay.
And they're hosted at University of Twente. It's
Twente.
Yes.
T-W-E-N-T-E, I believe. you can just pick that up and put it on hold, and we'll get to them.
Done. It's WebSDR, W-E-B-S-D-R dot E-W-I dot U-T-W-E-N-T-E dot N-L.
There's more. No, there's more. There's like a port that you have to give out.
Yeah, dot 8901.
Yeah, if you
colon
don't,
8901.
Colon 8901. If you don't do that, it's not going to work. So we'll give that out again. And the frequency, once again, I believe I have it right, is 7910 kilohertz. And you have to listen to upper sideband. If you don't listen to upper sideband, you won't hear it. Or you'll hear something that, you know, sounds like a fighter in Star Wars. Maybe the static won't be that loud.
What? I can't hear you.
Yeah, it's really loud. It's louder than the frying eggs in Robin Gillis' place. All right. Shall we take this first phone call soon as let's bring it down to about a quarter of that. We'll hear if they start talking.
Okay, go for some frying eggs right
now. That's fine. All right, let's take our first phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Hey, it's Rebel. What a surprise.
Yes. Did you get my email of the great idea I had for your nonprofit? You have a good slogan for.
I have very sophisticated filtering system as far as emails go. So. Haven't seen it yet. Not to say I won't see it at some point, but it hasn't got to me yet. It's going through.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Shall I say it on the air? I mean,
you're free to say whatever you want because we're not even on the air. We're on the internet.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. So long as.
All right, everybody, get ready. Everybody, sit down.
You know, copy it and say that. Oh, I made this up. That you know.
Put down the breakable things that you're holding, folks. Okay, and. All right, Rebel, we're gonna give you the floor here and tell us this great idea that you have.
Okay, so it should be hope, you know, with the slogan, that the logo that you still have, and it's the slogan should be helping people understand technology.
HPUT.
I mean, hope is still there, but I'm saying the slogan should be helping people understand technology.
But it should spell hope, shouldn't it? Isn't that the whole point?
It's the slogan. It's the slogan.
Helping people understand tech. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that is what we do.
I like where you're going with this. I will say it. I don't know if it encapsulates it entirely. It definitely is one aspect. It's definitely aligned with the message of hope, I would say.
It is. Many things are
one part of it. Yeah.
I don't know if you can summarize hope in one slogan. You know,
it's a really weird thing that they've in certain, you know, worlds and especially with this type of organization. Yeah, they tend to want to be able to sum it up, like what's your mission, that kind of thing. So I love the idea. Let's keep them coming.
Yeah, what do you guys in Signal Land think?
Now I'm wondering if, you know, HPUT, would this be a better name for the conference? We could, you know, say come down to Hoput and, you know, check out what's going on.
Are you mocking this, Rob? It sounds like you're having a bit of fun.
Well, I'm always having a little bit of fun, there is, I appreciate the sentiment that's being espoused here.
Tell us the thought process, Rebel, that brought you to the H.
Well, I mean, there's nonprofits. I mean, there's organizations that have these, you know, like organizations that help children and help, you know, homeless people, and organizations that help different people, to, you know, in different realms. I thought,
right,
you know, a nonprofit, an organization that. That's the goal of the mission of this organization, Hope, Hackathon on Earth, is to help people understand technology. Basically, mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I won't say it's not, for sure.
Certainly one of the goals.
It's one of the, I mean, we have a bunch of goals, but that's definitely one of them.
It is okay, good to now, do this stuff, because it helps people keep the spirit of something over time. And it's a way of encapsulating a sort of institutional memory. What is hope to you? And I think that's something we've been very, very thoughtful about. And those types of sentiments are very much aligned with it. In the sort of academic way that people give talks, the way we're about sharing information, teaching people stuff, that is... It is all in furtherance of an understanding of specific types of technology. I think communications, telecommunications is a big part of it in a specific way, historically and now. But there may be other attributes that you're thinking of. So I like the sentiment there.
And speaking of which, the speaker submissions are open for Hope. We don't have a definite place at this point. This is the month, though, where we are going to figure it out. I can say that with some assurance. And stay tuned, and we will definitely give you more info. But if you're interested in giving a talk and you think you'll be able to make it to New York in August, then there's no reason you shouldn't start working on your talk now. And you can send your summation of what you'll be talking about and a brief bio to speakers@hope.net. We'll have more information posted on the hope.net website. And if you go there now, you'll find out all about the organization, the new nonprofit status, how you can help, how you can get involved. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really interesting. We're basically taking a whole new route to this project, and it's going to be fun and enlightening. And your slogan, Rebel, is a good one.
Yeah, I'd like to, because it's geared toward the corporate realm of people who, like, get, you know, who have these data breaches, and, like, I remember you mentioned, like, well, if, you know, they have backups, or if maybe they shouldn't do this or that, you know, that's what it's geared toward. And that's what our new 15-second private commercial spot is. Okay, let's listen to it.
Well, nice. That was pretty smooth there, but okay, let's listen to it, whatever it is.
Okay. data breaches can happen to anyone. If you have a data breach or something technological that doesn't, well, I don't know, maybe I should have wrote that down.
Oh, Rebel, what's with the voice, Rebel? What voice is that? You don't need to. Okay, we have one of the directors. What do they call those things?
We got a clapper ready.
Clapper.
So we're gonna take two.
All right, take two. Go ahead.
Okay.
Ow.
All right. Let's use the. Okay. 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 Data breaches can happen to anyone. You should be prepared in case of a data breach to prevent it. Hackers on Planet Earth can help you understand the technology behind what happens and how to not... Oh, okay.
You sound like the operator from Laugh In. What the...
Don't trash talk Lily Tomlin like that.
Actually, I wasn't thinking of Lily Tomlin. I was thinking of the one that inspired Lily Tomlin. What was her name?
Ruth Buzzy?
No, not laughing. It was a comedy duo. The guy lost his dime. It wasn't.
Oh, Nichols and May.
That's it. Yeah, sound like her, the operator in that sketch. And if you haven't heard that sketch, it's from the 1960s. I think Gila will find the name of it and
on it right now.
Okay.
I'm thinking of like the stop motion holiday specials.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, like Frosty or somebody.
Yeah, Frosty and the Year Without a Santa Claus.
But
and
I love it. Yeah. That's good.
We need more stop motion. In fact, I'd like many people to stop
motion. Hope advertisement.
I Rebel, you up for take three?
You want one more?
Yeah,
all right, this is the last one. One of us has got to work. All right, Kyle, you count down. Go ahead.
All right, three, two, one, take three.
Ow! Why?
Data breaches can happen to anyone. At Hackers on Planet Earth, we have people who know how things happen and how technology works. If your company is unsure of technology, hackers know can explain things to you in a way that you can understand.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's brilliant. I think we can use that.
All right. But is that the closing line? You want to send it home?
Yeah, I think we can. We got what we need, Rebel. We definitely.
I think I'm going to write it down, and then by next week I'll have,
It's part of the process. It's part of the process. Yeah. It's how it works. We piece it all together, and at the end we have magic. That's show business.
Can't do it off the top of my head. I have the ideas, but I just...
All right, closing thought, Rebel. Do you have a closing thought?
Let's see. If you want to know how to, like, I learned things about Hope. Like, when I was playing with Wi-Fi, I was wondering, let's say, why does so many Wi-Fi hotspots come up when I click on a Wi-Fi on a computer and not the Wi-Fi? And I went to the Hope talk, and they explained it. Things like that. That's what I learned.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, learning stuff. Absolutely.
Learning is fundamental.
Sometimes just like kind of general and the basics. We're all about like making complicated stuff approachable. Because the telephone system early stuff was complicated, but we wanted to distill it, and we're still doing that. And I think that's a great kind of thing to remember.
Well, everyone listen to Evan Doorbell. There's a YouTube channel called Evan Doorbell.
Yeah.
And he back in the 70s, he recorded each phone sound and told what it did and why it sounded like that. I mean, I was confused about, register sender is, that's the sound of this and this, and this is the way the crossbar sounds. And, I learned a little bit about, how things work. Because back in those days, I always wondered why the phone sounded, metallic and like what did it make those rattles.
Well, it was what brought us in. What brought so many of us in was just all the different sounds. And Rebel, do you know where people can hear the Evan Doorbell recordings? Because there's an awful lot of them.
Yeah, so go to YouTube.com. On the YouTube,
We're on YouTube.com right now. We're all on YouTube.com.
Evan Doorbell. Just type Evan Doorbell.
All right, but don't leave channel 2600, so be careful.
No, I mean after the show.
Wait a respectable time after the show, and then type Evan Doorbell, and then you can listen to your heart's content. All right, Rebel, thank you so much for calling and for all the work you've been doing. That's
okay.
All right. See you next time.
Yeah, write your script.
You know, I've been thinking, and maybe you guys know this, maybe you don't. For some reason, I've been thinking of a number one crossbar. And you might be surprised to hear me say that, but I was just thinking, you know, when I used to call my relatives in New York City, and does anybody know what a number one crossbar sounds like when it rings? No? I'm just seeing blank stares. You can say no. There's no shame.
I mean, I don't know what a number one crossbar is.
Well,
that's the one with the chocolate and the raisins, I think.
I was going to say, isn't that like on your bike?
No, make your jokes. Go ahead. It's fine. I'm over it. But look, there were different kinds of switching systems. Everything now is digital. But back then, there was step. That was really old. But for the most part, crossbar was what people used before they converted to ESS, electronic switching systems. And it's weird because, you know, in major cities, you tended to have number one crossbars, whereas in the suburbs, you tended to have number fives. And they had a different sound to them. They had different rings. The amount of time of the ring was about the same, but the sound was very different. And the thing is, people today who were not around, say, in the 80s or before, might not have any idea what that sounds like. So I'm going to try and find audio from that and see if I can share it.
But, of course, those people would be familiar with switching systems from an era that they grew up in, for instance, the DMS systems and other systems that were deployed in their locales. And a lot of the systems, even the digital ones and the ones that changed from those systems, had their quirks and idiosyncrasies and things that you notice. And it got a lot harder with mobile systems and different voicemail schemes and things like that, changing over time and, as you said, becoming more and more digitized with basically synthesized ringing and call setup stuff.
Well, you know, it all sounds the same. And that's always been something that I've been against, is having everything sound the same. Because back then, you could tell where your call was going. You could hear it route through different places. You could recognize sounds. And now it's, you know, it's all the same. I mean, if you call overseas, the ring sounds different. But imagine that, you know. I don't know if people make overseas calls, but the ring, Alex, you obviously must know this, the ring sounds different. In England, for instance, it's a double ring. But also the sound that you hear over the phone is a different sound. And I just worry that kind of history could be lost, you know. If people don't, it's funny. I'm looking at online, and what do you think's coming up? Evan Doorbell videos on YouTube. Exactly what Rebel was talking about, and you know that kind of worries me because does it come down to just one source of history? Because you know it's that might be what we're looking at. I will find it though. By the end of the show, I will find it. We have another phone call, and good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
It's the guy from Queens with the dog.
You know, you have a name. You have a name.
My name is Howard.
Hi,
I'm
Howard.
But I called to talk to you about a couple of things, but I'll first say, when you call a Crossbar 5 office, the difference between Crossbar 1 and Crossbar 5 is you have more of an electronic ring. The ring was made up of two frequencies, 440 and 480 with a 20 hertz time base. And what was good about Crossbar 5 is if you had decoders on the other end, you could tell if the phone was ringing. And if you listen to the three beep, the last beep would tell you that the number was out of order. And they had different tones. Based on those tones, you could tell if the phone number was disconnected, if it was the wrong number.
How about this? In one call, we get a guy who knows so much more about this than I do. So that gives me hope that there are people out there that still remember and recognize this. Tell me something, Howard. Do you remember you've lived in Queens all your life?
Oh, yeah, I live in the 380-591. That was a crossbar 5. Before that, it was a crossbar 1 or a mechanical office. And we got a new office. Our office came in around 1966. It was on, I won't say where it is because they don't know where I live. But that office was built just for the World's Fair. When the World's Fair left, then they gave it to everybody else. We got it. We used to be OL7, Jamaica. And then we came 380-969 and all of those numbers.
Wow. Do you remember when the 718 area code was actually the 212 area code?
Yes, and I actually do remember that. That's a whole story in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was around 1983, 84. They decided to give us 718. They started breaking up the area codes, which was a mistake. What they should have done is kept everybody on it and just laid over a thing, but the FCC had rules. I did call about something else, but if you want to continue on this, but I would like to talk to Alex because I want to tell Alex what I think about something.
Let me try and play this one source of audio to see if maybe this is the number one crossbar ring. It's quite possible it's not, but I'm going to try it anyway and see what we get. Hang on. Well, that's a ring, but that's not what I was thinking of. Imagine hearing that when you call somebody instead of the ring you're used to. But that's not the ring I'm looking for.
By the way, you can call people today, you won't even hear a ring, you can hear music. So, but why I know so much about this, one of my first jobs was in 1982. I worked for a guy, I designed an auto dialer, and we used two rings, we used the busy signal. It's places where everything was standardized.
Oh, I found it. Hang on 1 second, Howard. I'm going to play the sound of a number one crossbar. Listen to that. Listen to that deep ring. You know, you hear a click at the end of each ring. That's a relay. You're hearing actual relays, and in the distance you can hear dial tones, busy signals, all kinds of crosstalk. And when I would call people in the city, that is the ring that you would hear. I mean, that's a phone ringing. That means something. Somebody's 500 series or Centrex or whatever is ringing with a bell and demanding attention, and people are obviously not, in this case, running across the room to get to the phone. And you could ring a phone for days, you know, it would never disconnect. And in fact, this one, thank you, Elmer Cat, whoever you are, this is over an hour. Wow. Okay. So there are people out there who really care about this, and that makes me feel good. You guys okay if I just leave this up a little while?
It's oddly soothing.
It's comforting. It really is. All right, Howard, I hope this isn't too much of a distraction for you.
No distraction. If you can hear me, I'd just like to say something to Alex. I want to discuss something.
Go ahead.
I agree with you on the Constitution, but things have changed. I know you guys don't like what Trump has done, and I can agree, but, you know, if you look up, I have friends who are Iranians, and they say, look, he had no choice in the matter. When you're killing 32,000 people, just like we could not turn our heads away from what happened in Germany, and if we had got involved in earlier in Germany, we would not have had that problem. And today, yes, you should go to the Congress, but if you went to Congress, everybody would know your plans. So sometimes you have to do things. Times are different. When this Constitution was written, it was written for a time where things took days or months to happen. Now things happen in microseconds. My problem, and I think what Trump did is somewhat okay as long as you keep it under control, we had to do something. You can't have anyone killing 32,000 people for no reason. You can't even go, you can't even walk down the street in Iran if you're a lady. If you show you're here, they're going to kill you or they're going to stone you. So what do you do in that case, Alex? I know that you're a lawyer, but sometimes it has to be practical. Should we just turn our eyes and say we're not going to get involved, or we're not going to try to change things? I'm sorry, but war is a dirty business. And we've had other presidents who have done worse, like Johnson. After Kennedy was killed, Johnson went ahead and started Vietnam. And look at what happened. Vietnam was not a justified war. Sometimes you have to do things.
Sure. Howard, I think you bring up really great points, and I appreciate you bringing them up. I don't necessarily disagree with you whatsoever in many respects here, too. I think you're absolutely right that we need the element of surprise, especially if we're going to target an autocratic oppressive regime like Iran. I think it's incumbent upon the president to have to act unilaterally in order to do that. You can't go and brief Congress. Information is going to get out. I think you're absolutely right. But what I disagree with is that Congress shouldn't act as a check on the president here, right? You know, this whole vote on the War Powers Act was really about Congress doing its job. The president has a lot of latitude to, as the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces, to engage in this type of activity. But historically, and the Constitution definitely anticipates that it should be with the advice and the consent of the Congress in order to effectuate a real act of war here. And so I think Congress has to be involved here. Otherwise, we will run the risk of having some kind of autocrat in power that just unilaterally decides with whom and when they're going to engage in some kind of wartime operation. That's scary to me, but I do totally appreciate your points. And the other points that you made are very, very valid, which are that there are many Iranians, many Persians from in the diaspora here in the United States that are applauding these particular acts. And I know plenty of them that are. And I don't disagree whatsoever that the effect of what the president has done here with respect to Iran may have beneficial consequences to many, many Iranians, as well as beneficial consequences to the Middle East. I think the Middle East will be a safer place without this autocratic regime in place. There's no question in my mind. But we're not a nation that justifies the damn ringing in the background is a little bit distracting here. We're not a nation.
I asked. People said it didn't distract them. I asked.
Okay, yeah. We're not a Machiavellian nation here, right? The ends for us don't necessarily justify the means. We're a nation of laws. We're a nation of due process. And I think that that's something that we ultimately have to respect, no matter what the beneficial effect is going to be for a domestic problem or foreign problem like we're dealing with right now. And that's the point here. But I really very much appreciate you bringing up these issues and appreciate you listening very closely.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm going to say is this. Most of you guys don't like Trump. Okay, I happen to like him. There's certain things he's done wrong. By the way, Alex, I'll just say this to sidebar. I think the Supreme Court did the right thing on the tariffs. He had no right. But I actually think the tariffs were better. As you know, the Federal Reserve came into being, and that's why the IRS came into being. But that's a whole discussion for another point. But the question is, do you think, forget about the Constitution, do you think Trump is evil because he attacked Iran the way he did? Because we can go back in time and look. I wish we just would look at him honestly. I can tell you other presidents, look at what Truman did with the two nukes, the atomic bombs in Japan. And you can look at why he did it, because he wanted to shorten the law. Did he really? Or was it because he wanted to keep Russia out of Japan? So we can look at motives. I mean, there have been other presidents killed much more people than Trump has. Johnson killed hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese, and we also lost 50,000 people in Vietnam. I grew up during that period of time when people were protesting. I was 14 years old. I was born in 55, so yeah, I have a good idea. But I'm saying is this, how do you handle this? Is he bad for wanting to do this? Is it evil? Maybe he's not going about it the right way, but I think he's trying the best. And I wish people wouldn't just demonize just for the purpose of demonizing because he's Trump. You know, people, all I know, a lot of my friends if he were to cure something, they would hate him. So they're only taking the opposite side. That's the question. Is he doing the right thing? Are there really there are 32,000 people that have been killed? I mean, what those people are doing to their own people, Iran, is a crime against humanity.
Yeah, and just to respond very, very briefly, and then I want to let Hila chime in here too. I think doing the right thing is different from doing the right thing according to the right processes as well. I think we can all agree that the end result could be very beneficial, but the ends don't necessarily justify the means here. Right? And that's my point here, is that if we begin to be a nation that says these types of things, that we can get away with doing these things because the result is beneficial without necessarily following the process, then we're not necessarily a nation of laws anymore. You know, there are processes, there's the Constitution that you have to follow, and we have to make sure that we don't centralize too much power in the executive branch. The executive branch has been consolidating power for so many decades now, and it's become a very, very dangerous situation for us. If you think about this in terms of hacking, this is like somebody taking over the root account on a Linux system that's connected to critical infrastructure being nuclear weapons in particular. So I think we have to have...
You know what, I'm scared about is this. We're still able in this country to be able to talk about this without... We still have freedom of speech. We have the First Amendment. You know, I'm worried that either Trump or somebody else will come in and take that away. That's the scary part.
All right, we're gonna move on, but thanks for your call. Hila, I know you had something to say, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're getting significant chiming in from the chat, and I agree. Oh, my God, it has to stop, or I might shove something through my eardrum.
Well, okay, but it stops from us getting in the streets and, you know, basically voting the bastards out. I mean, you know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah.
I think you're willfully misinterpreting what I'm saying right now. But
willfully or willfully?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Honestly. But what's... I'm about to throw my headphones through the window, so if you could please stop the ringing.
Oh, the ringing. Okay. Well, you know what? Okay. Is that what people are saying in the chat?
Yes.
Can you read me one comment?
We've gotten someone into that phone. I agree, the ringing is really annoying.
Yes, that's all I wanted. They know it's ringing. This is the sound of ringing. Think about that. That's what ringing used to sound like. So, yeah. All right. The point has been made.
It's over when the phone stops ringing.
I did ask before if it's okay.
You did, and I don't think any of us realized it was going to go that long.
Well, that's how it worked back then. Phones could ring forever, so yeah.
Yeah, I know, but if the phone had rung that long and I was trying to call someone and the phone had rung that long, I would have said, oh, they're not answering, and hung up the damn phone.
Or if you were me back in the day, you would have known that your neighbor was away and called their number and left it ringing so you could hear it ringing from their place and just be terribly amused by letting that go on for an hour.
Ooh. I was reading a fun thing in a book I was reading. I'm reading Nevermind the Happy by Mark Shaiman, which I'm assuming does not appeal to pretty much anybody. But he was talking about trying to cock-block someone, and he knew that this guy was going to be going to, like, his workplace to hook up after hours. So he went to a payphone, called this guy's place of work, took the phone off the hook, and drove away, knowing that the ringing, he couldn't answer the phone because that would have alerted people that he was there after hours. And this successfully kept this person from hooking up, which I very much appreciated.
That's fun.
Tom Mitchell. Stop it.
What? You realize that makes no sense to anybody that's not privy to your little chat there.
I do.
All right. Why not tell the person in the chat to stuff it rather than drag however many people are listening to this now and in the future?
Because anybody who's listening to it now and in the future, the chat is happening.
Is it?
The chat gets rerun along
the chat
time.
Reruns, yeah. Yep. It takes about 24 hours to reset, and then
my God.
The chat runs live.
Not if they're listening to the archive from 2600.com.
That is true.
Yeah.
So I will say that we have someone who is in the chat pretty regularly who attempts to be an edgelord and attempts to, what's the word I'm looking for? Provoke. And
I'm not in the chat, so if you're saying that,
no,
that's
I know.
What I do, okay, because
I'm not saying you.
I have been told that I have that effect.
We do have a phone
I am
call.
Not saying you.
Okay. You don't think I provoke enough? Or I could do more.
I'm not talking specifically about you right now, that's all.
All right. Okay, well, do we have another phone call, Kyle?
We have another phone call,
so let's not keep them waiting. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. First of all, props to you guys with a 1,000% improvement on your phone call quality. I'm hearing everybody perfectly. Hopefully, you're hearing me the same way. So whatever you did in fixing your phone system, props.
Well, Kyle gets all the credit for that. He spent hours working on this and fixing it. And, yeah, it works great now.
Okay, first of all, what I'm calling about is the listening to the number station in Iran. For those people who are interested in shortwave monitoring all around the world and don't have a shortwave radio, there is an interesting site on the Internet which you can access literally 100 or more shortwave receivers with various antennas located at various locations
wow.
around the world.
Really?
You might want to, okay, go to websdr.org. WebSDR.org. That is a portal that can take you to literally 100 or 150 shortwave radios, including VHF and UHF scanners as well, all over the world, so you can really get a sense of what's going on out there if you go down that rabbit hole.
The very first one is the one that we gave out the link to, so wow, they have many, many more. That's amazing.
About 100, and anyone can set up something like that. Just the SDR dongles are relatively cheap. The software is, I think, free or open source. And you can literally, if you've got the time or inclination, you can set one up.
Do you know how many people can tune the same receiver at the same time?
It depends on the bandwidth available to the specific receiver. Some have limits, some don't. It depends purely on the bandwidth that's available. But many receivers have seen 15 or 20 people tuned in at the same time, and there doesn't seem to be any degradation.
Wow, this is amazing. It's all over the world, in the United States, South America, and that's really handy if you're looking for a particular broadcaster that comes in better in those locations.
Yeah, exactly. Go to websdr.org, and that's a nifty site to keep in mind. Bookmark that, and you're golden.
I'm doing that right now. Wow. Okay, I'm going to be spending a lot of time now doing this, so I won't be doing anything else I promised to do. I'm not doing that anymore.
Oh, boy. I got one more kind of a trivia thing for you guys, since you were talking about the early history of the phone system, et cetera, and the different area codes before. I know Howard from Queens mentioned when 212 merged, brought in 718, et cetera. You folks probably know this, but I'm going to just toss it out. Do you folks know why the original area codes were assigned to specific cities? There is a specific engineering reason for that.
I'll take this one. It was particular cities that were very populous. They wanted less time spent actually twirling the dial. So 212, 213, 214, those were big cities, 312, 313, 314. You know, if you look at the biggest cities, you'll find that they have the lowest numbers, whereas the ones where you dial 0 in the middle or 9, those tended not to be as populated. Also, a 0 in the middle indicated that it was one area code for an entire state. A 1 in the middle meant that there were multiple area codes in that state. Did I get it right?
You get the gold star.
Cool.
Okay, that's about it. That's all I got from here.
Okay.
You got a great show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Oh, by the way, one other thing. How's Bernie S. doing?
I do not know, but I assume he's doing well.
Okay, because I haven't heard him on the program for a while, of course, and I know Bernie S. through various radio groups that I'm involved with and so on.
Uh-huh.
Just haven't talked to him in a while.
Wow. Well, get on the radio. Maybe you'll find him that way.
Yeah, probably. Okay, good enough. You have a good one, okay?
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
And our phone number, 802-321-4225. We're going to take one or two more phone calls. Alex, I'm glad you had the conversation about Iran, not me, because I'm worn out. I said what I had to say.
You know what I was thinking? Now there's an internet blackout in Iran, right? Dial-up still works, though, presumably, right? It's just hard to find another modem to which you can connect on the other side. But how difficult is it for us to dial Iran? How difficult is it for us to communicate with them directly through voice? I don't know. Is it like Albania back in the 90s where you couldn't dial it?
No, it's not blocked at all. In fact, there's recordings of us calling Iran back in the hostage crisis, so we got right through. It's not hard to do that. I'm just not sure you'll find very many people in a talking mood, but I don't know. Communication is important, and showing support is important, too. The thing that worries me is, knowing Trump, and, I don't criticize Trump because he's Trump. I criticize Trump because of what he does, and that's really the only reason. And I don't just stop there. I criticize the people around him, too, because they do stupid shit as well. And in this particular case, I don't know if it's an exception because what they're talking, the way they talk to the press or answer questions is so defensive. People who are that defensive generally don't have confidence in themselves. And that really worries me because it's easy to go bombing a country into submission, even a country like Iran. What do you do next? Because that Revolutionary Guard is still there. The infrastructure is still there. The best case scenario is that you have a lot of people competing to be the leader. And then you have a civil war because of that. I mean, Iraq was supposed to be a cakewalk, and that sure lasted forever. Iran is much bigger as far as military and population. So we've opened up the floodgates, and it doesn't seem to be well thought out. But, I would like to be proven wrong on this because so many lives are at stake. Rob.
I'm also curious, Alex, if you could, who would you call in Iran right now and say, hi, I'm an American, want to have a chat?
I would just call anybody. I would literally call a random number. I mean, back in the red boxing days, I used to just try to call the numbers that were farthest away in the continental United States, and that was either 808, numbers in 808 with an exchange, or 907. 808 being Hawaii, 907 being Alaska, and I remember specifically that there was 907 in Anchorage, there was a 243 exchange. And I used to just call random numbers and random people in Alaska and say hello. And sometimes I found it interesting, sometimes I didn't. I always found it interesting because I was sitting at a payphone with a red box in a shopping center. And I was, 15, 14 years old at the time. So, those are the good old days. But I do think it would be quite interesting to just try to give them a ring.
By the way, I used to call information operators from the payphone in my high school. It was weird. I remember a bunch of us would gather around and we'd call operators, because it used to be free to call information anywhere in the world, actually. So, we dial, 514-555-1212, talk to an operator in Montreal, and ask how the weather is. And it was the biggest thrill in the world to hear somebody say what the weather was like in Montreal. I don't know how I was able to share that with four or five people gathered around the phone, but we were all that interested that we would do that. That was a magical moment there that you could just connect to somebody, and it sounded far away. You could hear that hiss. It sounded kind of like, what Robin Gila have every now and then with the egg sound. But it was, it was more serious. It was just, this is far away. This is long distance. We call people in Alaska, operators in Alaska, because that was free. And then occasionally we'd make collect calls to random people. Sometimes they even accepted, but you would always be able to hear them even if they didn't accept. So that was... That was part of the magic of telecommunications. And I got to say, that's what drew me in, was that magic, just being able to hear distant voices and realize, wow, there's people there too. And what kinds of lives do they lead?
I totally agree. I even before I got into phone freaking or hacking in any respect, I remember being in eighth grade and starting to learn Italian. And I used to try to figure out how to make collect calls to random numbers in Italy just to hear how they would answer the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fascinating to me. It drew me in that you could do that you could connect to somebody on the other side of the world, and they spoke a different language, and it was a different time. It was really, it was mind-blowing. You're part of this network, and connected to people. It was really extraordinary. But you take it all for granted.
There's one example, a particularly fun example that we did on a really old radio show from, 1981, 1982. We would have just a part of the show called Voice of Long Island, where we just call operators and talk to them, and it's a great way to hear what the phone system used to sound like. But there was one particular case where an area code popped up that wasn't listed. It was the 706 area code. And it wasn't in the phone book, and operators didn't even know what it was. I don't know how I found it. I knew it was going to Mexico. I knew it was some kind of weird Mexican shortcut. But I would call. This is all documented. In fact, you can find it on 2600.com radio section. Look for Voice of Long Island and look for the 706 area code. It's in there somewhere. But we got Mr. Pinto. I remember Mr. Pinto was the operator. And I was asking him, where is 706? He said, well, we don't have a 706. And then, okay, bye. And then I called 706 on the air, and you heard it ring. So then I called another operator, except it turned out to be Mr. Pinto again, who was rather peeved that, you know, we were calling him back and not believing him the first time. But eventually he figured out where it was. Things like that. That was the fun of the phone system, of exploring, of being mischievous and learning new things. Gila, and then we have a phone call.
Jimmy, Connecticut tells us that he said, I think my first Redbox call was Tokyo time and temperature, just to see if I could do it.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's a high bar there. All right, let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
I don't think you should give Twitter that much flack. I mean, it's been around longer than this poor management has been. You know, it's run by a Nazi. But, you know, what are people going to do about it? You know, you have all these people signed up onto this network that has been taken over. But, you know, it's still useful. I mean, you can still use it to reach out to people. And, you know, maybe if your platform isn't liberal politics, it can still be quite useful in getting your message out.
I use it to shame big corporations. You know, it's when they do something wrong, they're almost always on Twitter. And by the way, I love the fact that we've just called it Twitter and nothing else. But they will respond. Here's another caution, though. Sometimes when they respond, it's not them responding, because there are all kinds of con jobs on Twitter, and this is one of them, where accounts pretend that they belong to the company, and then they get your personal information. So be wary of that. But oftentimes you will get the actual customer representative from that company. I've had things fixed that I couldn't get fixed over the phone. I wish they were on the other platforms. And, you know, I'm always trying to get people to go to the other platforms. But I can't fool myself and say they are. They're not. We need to obviously fix that. But it's not. We're not there yet. Anyway, what else is on your mind?
I mean, there's people on there who obviously don't care, maybe from foreign countries, and, like, how do you connect with them? You know, not all people can figure out how to go on to Blue Sky or Fediverse, because it's also fragmented, in particular with the Fediverse. You know, you have to pick, you know, what kind of instance you want to go to and all that. You know, it's not something that some people may be able to figure out.
I agree.
But, you know, everyone you're saying that about, though, got onto Twitter somehow in the first place. And, you know, getting onto something else is basically that easy, I think, and for the most part. Maybe the Fediverse is a little more complicated, but that's always being worked on. But like Blue Sky, you sign up for an account and you're there. You know, other platforms, you sign up for an account and you're there, just as you did when you got your Twitter. And I agree, Twitter used to be very useful for contacting. There was a broken stair on my local subway stop, and I tweeted at the MTA about it, and they fixed it. And that, I felt a sense of accomplishment about that. But, you know, I probably could have also just called them on the phone and told them.
Wow.
Right. I mean, it's still useful for some things. I still use it, fortunately. I mean, people are going to use it as long as they can, okay?
Yeah, you can't stop people from using things. That's one thing we've learned.
This is true, but like for my own well-being and mental health, I have used it as long as I can, and I stopped using it quite some time ago.
And I understand that. I respect that. I mean, yeah, it's it's all something it's a decision people have to make on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, respect the decisions people make. That's all I ask. You know, it's, we shouldn't be shaming people because they use this and not that. You know, I see wars between Mastodon and Blue Sky. That's stupid. Don't do that.
Oh, well, so anyways, I was kind of surprised this wasn't gotten to on the show, but California enacted a new bill, the Digital Age Assurance Act, Assembly Bill number 1043. And there's been all sorts of hoopla in, like, the open source community, you know, open source operating systems about, you know, how are they going to implement age verification on an their operating systems, you know. Midnight BSD, you know, it's a BSD fork, BSD being the Berkeley version, Berkeley Unix. You know, they just put in their license, hey, if you're from California, don't use this because we can't put in age verification. We can't comply with this law, so don't use this.
Or come from somewhere else. Come from a different place. Just don't come from California. It's easy.
Yeah, that's my question. Like, the licensing specifically says, if you're in California, don't use this. But I don't think the system actually has any teeth to that. And, you know, it's not going to stop you from... It's not going to check to see where you're from to try and stop you. It's just a legal thing.
The thing is, we can't let something like that become normal, where, oh, I'm in California because I can't do this. It's like, oh, I'm in California, then I'll use this method to do this. You know, it's far more dangerous to restrict people in that manner than for a child to have access to something they're not supposed to have access to. There are other ways to deal with that problem without screwing up the entire net for everybody.
Yeah, and then there's the Linux people who are actually right now trying to figure out how to implement this into different distros on, like, an API call level, putting up different things. And it's, I mean, this bill is severely brain damaged, and to a smaller extent, the people who actually want to comply with this.
Yeah, I can't imagine why they want to comply with this, because it's just such, you know, it's such a level of control that you're giving away.
And I don't think this is even enforceable. And, you know, I mean, the bill specifically, well, first of all, the bill says, you know, it says if you're a publisher of an operating system, you have to put in age verification into your system. And then, well, now you have to define what an operating system is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of different operating systems that may be used not on a desktop computer that a child might have. But you know,
I don't get it. I don't get the mentality. I mean, how are you supposed to even use a computer?
I mean, there's Linux distributions for servers, real-time operating systems, industrial control systems, all this different system software that could technically fall under the definition of an operating system. Are they going to have to implement age verification too? You know, if you're trying to set up like a rack mount server or something and it says, you know, please tell me how old you are. And that's the other thing. You know, what if a child just says, yes, I am 18 years old, just lies about it, just presses the other button. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a...
Is that all it takes, or do they want some kind of proof?
I don't know. I've got the text in front of me. I don't know the answer to that question, but it mm-hmm. seems to me that that's what it's all about. You know, just...
One of the key points of the internet is the ability to be anonymous. You take that away, you might as well just destroy the entire net, because that is what it's founded upon, that ability. We can never let that go.
This isn't specifically about internet, it's about operating systems.
Right, but they're related.
I guess, but, you know, think about it. You know, if you're trying to set up a server, server operating systems, are they going to have to set up age verification too? You know, you're in a factory working in a Siemens industrial control system that runs a real-time operating system. That's going to have to implement it too. It's really, really
Why in God's name are we upset at a 7-year-old setting up a distribution of Linux? I don't see what the harm in that is.
I don't think any. I mean, yeah. What else was I going to get to? You know, what is my point of all this? I mean, this is and this is very, very brain damaged.
It's people who don't understand technology making the rules about technology.
I think that's been long running.
Yeah, it is. But they're getting more power now, and you know, I think we're kind of so tired of it all that, you know, we're just not fighting as hard as we should be. I think the answer is to get more people fighting, obviously, to educate more people.
And this bill doesn't do anything for the two major computer operating systems, macOS for Macintosh and Microsoft Windows, because those both put in, you know, as part of the account setup, when you first set up one of those systems, you have to put in how old you are. And, you know, through that, I'm pretty sure they put in different age gates for what kind of applications you can install from, you know, that system's particular software repository. You know, this is only kind of wreaking havoc in the various, you know, Unix and distributions. And, you know, I even saw somebody was making a firmware for, like, for calculators, and they had to put in a notice. If you're in California, don't use this, because, you know, even though this is, like, a thing for a desktop calculator, it still falls under the definition of an operating system. And, no, I'm not going to implement age verification on a fucking calculator. How would you do that? Are you just typing your date of birth on the number pad?
All these things have to be challenged and made to, you know, so people see how ridiculous it is. And, by the way, you're hissing again, Robin Gila. I just stopped.
I think this is I don't hear it on the phone.
All right. Do you hear it on the speakers, though?
No. Well, I'm not sure. Don't listen now.
Because it'll get very confusing.
But this bill is practically unenforceable.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm not sure why people are trying to comply with it.
Because people like to control things that they have no clue about. That's the only answer I can come up with. But anyway, we're going to head out of here because it's late and we've got other things we got to do. But thanks for your call and for letting us know about that.
All right, I think that's pretty much all I can remember to say. Thank you.
All right, take care. And that's our last call for the night.
All right, but we did follow your idea, and when you told us the hiss was happening, we clicked over to the YouTube feed with the delay and checked it out there, and now we hear what's going on, and I have no idea why that's happening. I don't think it's something happening in the apartment. It must be something happening maybe in my sound hardware or something. Yeah, it's strange, and we'll look into it.
It's weird.
Maybe Carl needs to check out Queens for a little bit.
He doesn't do house calls.
Yeah, I know. He seems to be the only person who can fix these things these days. You know, we fix one problem and just another one pops up. I mean, this is life imitating art, I guess.
Well, we will investigate.
There it is. Yep.
All right. Well, write to us, oth@2600.com. Don't forget 2600 meetings in the vast majority of places on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And look on 2600.com/meetings for a full listing. Anything else? No? Good. All right.
Nope.
We will see you next week. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Good night, everyone.